All right, 1 Samuel chapter 17, in whose name? We'll start in verse 42 and read through verse 51. We could read the whole chapter, but I think this will suffice. Story of David, of course, facing Goliath. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with the sword, with the spear, and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver me into mine hand, deliver thee into mine hand, and I'll smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I'll give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slang it. And he smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out from the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith, and the Philistine saw their champion was dead. They fled. Now I adjure you this day to never, ever forget in whose name you come. In other words, why you're here. I'm talking about the breath of life on this earth. Never, ever forget in whose name you come. No matter the circumstance. Remember, it is in whose name you are here. Now, if you'll remember that, in whose name you came, it will always lead you to the correct action at hand. Because we face situations all the day long, in news and in life, all sorts of things. In whose name? Just like sitting here with kids or wherever you're listening, or whatever's going on in your head, in your mind, in whose name he came. David was master of this almost his whole life. He never, you might say, he had a couple instances where he sinned. But I guess you haven't. But he never forgot in whose name that he came. We're told that he failed but twice in these matters. Just twice in his whole life. But throughout his life, he relied on the Lord for his direction. This is whose name I'm here in, you see. If you look at, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I didn't mark these scriptures, so you'll bear with me. 2 Samuel 22. Verse 20 through verse 25. This is David's song of thanksgiving. Very unusual, by the way. Matter of fact, and I find it actually quite contrary. I was having a discussion this morning about how that so many of the so-called truths that I was taught in religion about the Bible turned out not to be so at all. It's sort of like the news media. It's sort of like truth in general, what you think is truth. And that's why you have to read the book, and you have to read the book, and you have to read the book. And I discovered truth this morning. All these years of reading the book, more than you want to know. So David says in his song of thanksgiving, he said, he brought me, the guy who's, excuse me, not the guy, the God in whose name he came, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Does he delight in you? He in whose name you came? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Oh, I'm not righteous. I'm just an old... Do you see what David said? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, in whose name I came. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. This is after. This is a man that committed adultery and murder. You have to understand these things. If you're going to understand God, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Can you imagine a man standing up in church today and declaring this? He wouldn't finish the five verses before they ran him off. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me, given me, according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. You see, if you really read the Bible, it's an amazing book, and it's quite contrary to what we're mostly taught in religion. We in Christ are truly without excuse of such. Are we not to be filled with the Spirit daily? I mean filled with the Spirit, not just words. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you see. And then verse 24, he said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Wow. Where's that Christianity? How often do you go out in the name of the Lord of hosts? Or do you most often rather go out in your own name? I think that's probably the case with most. We say we can do all things in Christ, but is it just words? Is it just a saying? Now, I for one can certainly tell when I leave one for the other. I'll tell you that. I mean, I know immediately when I've turned to the left or the right. The yoke of one is not so easy, nor the burden so light. And life on this earth, in this flesh. Now listen, I almost thought, man, this is my life on this earth, in this flesh, is very hard. Very, very hard. Contrary to what you might believe in youth. If, I emphasize if, and I mean if, you live long enough, you'll come to know that. If you stay on this earth long enough, you will come to know that. Turn to, let's see, we're 2 Samuel 19. Turn back a few chapters. 2 Samuel 19, what's the verse I'm looking for? Oh, verse 35. This fellow, Barzillai, had helped David when David was running from his son Absalom. And David wanted Barzillai because he had helped the army of David. And David, he said, why don't you come to Jerusalem with me and I'll take care of you all your days. And in verse 35, Barzillai says, I am this day 80 years old. He's 80. And can I discern between good and evil? He's 80. They're finding that out in the White House, aren't they? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? I'm 80. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? I'm 80. Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my Lord the King? Now, we have a telling of that. If you'll turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms, the 90th Psalm, in verse 10. Psalm 90:10, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, by the way, those 10 years are by reason of your strength. I'm over halfway through them. Your strength. Every single day. They be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Every day, every single day, labor and sorrow. How do you know that? For it is soon cut off and we fly away. I can say with certainty of such trials as what I've endured in this life, with certainty, death is better. I've had such trials that I've prayed to God, if ever again, I went through it once, I don't care to go through it again. My little brother, turned 75 Friday. Thursday, he got a call. He has a T-cell carcinoma. That's what you get. He turned 75. Lymphoma. Cancer. I shall not speak this day of all the experience of such that even only I've endured. But suffice it to say, I don't desire to go through those experiences again. We used to sing a song at the tabernacle all the time. It's in the valleys that our faith is really put to the test. Just as David, in our text, he was in a valley with Goliath. But he made it through that test because he remembered in whose name that he came. The only thing between David and death in the natural was a smooth stone. Thus, those in Christ are cornerstone. He is the rock. And that's in whose name we come. If you ever come to such a time, you'll know without a doubt that it must be Christ. It has to be. You know that. David faced a true giant of a man with a sword, a spear, and a shield. But David came as more than a conqueror because of whose name that he came. The Lord. The Lord God Almighty. And is there one of us? Now listen, we're reading about David killed a giant. Can we do less? Have we not our own armor? Are we not only willing but able? You think David, a man even after God's own heart, had an easy life. He was the king. Facing Goliath, if you read about David, that was a piece of cake compared to what he faced later. He was hunted. He was marked for death, even by his own son, his favorite son. He suffered hunger, strife. He was a man of war. He couldn't even build God a house because he was such a bloody man. He suffered a horrible disease, probably a venereal disease, and treachery within and without throughout his whole life. Treachery. And the one time he had peace caused him to fall into sin. You see? This man of God, he committed not only adultery, but murder. And he counted the people. He took a census because he feared. This man that faced a giant with a small, smooth stone. That's what happens when you forget in whose name you came. And we all do. Yes, this David. Did he have to? No. But haven't we all? I know we have. So I write, thank God for Calvary. This but a small portion of the remedy that Christ provided for you and I on that cruel tree. And that's why I always find such hope in David. Nathan, his prophet's most glorious message to such a one. David's on his face. He's got a child that's going to die. He's murdered his, you might say, his friend. He's taken his friend's wife. And he's on his face before God. And Nathan said, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. The Lord also hath put away. His sin's gone. I've had so many accost me about David being a murderer and an adulterer. Committed adultery, committed murder. He was not an adulterer. He was not a murderer. Did you read his song? We just read it. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. You remember, we've said it so many times as late. excuse me. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews. You know, when David ran toward Goliath in our text, verse 48, is very reminiscent to me of my early days in Christ. You remember? Man, I ran. I ran straight toward every Goliath I could find. So much so, I ended up praying what I call the Jerry Clower prayer. Lord, just shoot up here amongst us because one of us needs some relief. I was one day thrust into Christian maturity by a crushing near-death experience that I wouldn't wish upon anyone. Nor, now listen, the helpmeet that was assigned to me in that hour. Because she also grew overnight from a child of God into a woman of God. You say, how's, well, her armor was tested. To the very death, there's no way to tell you the length it was tested. I can tell you, I think I'd rather face Goliath. This is life. This is life. This is death. Joshua said, choose this day who you're going to serve. After David's battle with the giant, his life became easy? Oh. I think not. His real battle had just begun. And if you're in this trail, in this walk, you'll one day learn something about that. I'm now battling between what we read about, I'm battling between 70 and 80. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every single day. That's why people say, how are you? I go, I'm still here. Those who profess love for me, many have become enemies. Some even wanting my very life. I've said many, many times that you got to have a place in this book. If you can't pick this book up and not find you in it, I'd have doubts whether you'd be in the way. Because it must be your life. I easily find myself in the Old and New Testament alike. Where are you? I'll show you. Some of it I won't show you. And even this very day, at this very hour, I, the preacher, must remember in whose name I came. It's hard. He told me. He said, son, when you hit 70, it's by your strength. I'm taking my hands off of you. Buddy, he wasn't kidding. Every hour, every day, even after 75, the name above all names, in Christ, in Christ, and living becomes harder than one might ever imagine. No wonder Paul said to die is gain. Hey, you can't earn it. I didn't. I wouldn't have. I'm not picking on you. But if you live long enough, you'll know that to die is gain. And thus to live must be in Christ, in whose name did you come. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. Yeah, I think it is just another hill, but boy, they do get higher and they do get harder. Lord, it's just another hill. But man, I'd like to be in the lowlands for a while. And then lastly, I would tell you today that I don't any longer fit in your world. I'm sorry, I wish I did, but I don't. My mind, I'm not looking back as such, as Paul says, but my mind goes back. Every day my mind goes back, and somebody will say something, and I'll go, man, when I was a youth, that was great. And now if you tell somebody you were there, you're the most awful person. And it was a glorious thing. You see, you weren't there. You weren't there. I no longer fit in your world. And if you live long enough, neither will you. Never forget in whose name you come. Never forget.